Welcome to our podcast, Co-Cafeteria. We are Lara, Miguel, and Kai, and we talk about developer life, tech games, and other things. There's a new Nintendo Switch game that is keeping our minds busy in these difficult times. A game that couldn't have come at a better time. Of course, we're talking about Animal Crossing, and today's episode is going to be about this game. And we think it is going to be very useful for you if you just started with the game. We will try to keep spoilers at minimum, but we have plenty of tips that will help you on your first week on the island. Hello Kai, hello Lara, how are you doing?
Good morning, I'm fine, how are you?
Good evening. I'm fine. I want to play. I want to continue playing.
Yeah, I'm fine too. And also I left something halfway in Animal Crossing. So as soon as we finish this podcast, I'm going to jump back into the Switch.
Yes, that's why I'm drinking Red Bull right now.
Oh, wow.
I have business.
Wow. Okay.
A real gamer. So I would like to start because I think Animal Crossing is a game that everyone sees in a different way. And I would like to ask you, what's your definition of Animal Crossing, or describe it in your own words?
So it's an open world game where you basically start with nothing, you don't have anything, and you end up in an island. You're going to an island where you will be living in a tent, and in exchange, well, you have to pay for the trip, so you have to pay back for the trip. And then if you want to start upgrading your house, you start paying more loans. So basically, it's like a cute way of being an adult paying loans and collecting things.
That's actually quite true. You know, I think the essential of the game, it's a mortgage simulator, more or less, in some way. I would add to that it is set in a very cute, kawaii universe. So you're kind of the humanoid person ending up on that island, basically buying a trip and settling on that island, and you live with little cute animals. So that's the first big difference, right? Like, you're a human and all the other characters in the game are animals. So the animals who organize the island trip, that getaway, are a bunch of, are they raccoons? They are raccoons, right?
Tanook? Yeah, tanookies. I call it tanooki. I think
they are raccoons.
The nooks.
So there's Tom Nook and Timmy and Tommy, his, I don't know, children, nephews, random other small raccoons, no one knows really.
Minions.
And they basically sell stuff and they charge you a ridiculous amount of money or in-game money for these things. And you have to buy stuff from them to kind of upgrade your experience and keep the game going. You know, you upgrade your house to a tent and then you buy furniture and you buy all sorts of other gadgets and you can sell stuff you find on the island. So it's kind of a little economy simulator where the main objective of the game is to get more things and pay off your mortgage.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of things with economy in the game, and we should talk about that today. I like to say that it's a sandbox game, because in sandbox games, like in a Minecraft for example, you can do anything. You don't have an end goal, but instead the goal is the one that you set to yourself. And maybe the goal can be, I want to have the biggest house. Then you're going to work a lot to pay for the house. But you can just say, hey, I don't care about the house. I can do that slowly. You can do that. And I want to spend my time changing the island, changing the shape of the island and making it a little town. Or I want to be able to fish all the different fish that is in the sea. So you can set your own goals and play against that. And I know that that's difficult for a lot of people that need to have a goal or need to have an end. But I like that a lot. And I spend a lot of time with this type of games.
That is true. You could also choose, for example, collecting things like fishing, bugs, or fossils as well, right?
Yeah.
Or get all the things that you can buy in the game, you know, all the furniture, yeah. All the clothes, all the little tools and things like that. So, I mean, there are tons of little objectives you can aim for if you want to. Or you can just, like, run around on the island and do random stuff. I mean, who cares? You know, no one is judging you. Well, that's not true. Tom Nook is judging you, but you can happily ignore that if you want to.
In theory, you arrived there and you have a tent. Yeah, you have to pay a loan. You have to pay back the trip. But that's all. You're not tied to anything, I think. So you could kind of live in the... You could live there and just hang out with your neighbors every day and do nothing and have flowers.
I think the problem is that some next steps in the game require you to do things. So, for example, when you start in the tent, at some point after you paid off your trip to the island, Tom Nook will offer you to upgrade you to a house. And build a house for you, which comes obviously with like an extended mortgage attached to it. And when you work on that house, at some point, you know, the museum guy pops up and he wants to help with the museum. And then Tom Nook comes back and he says like, oh, there are more people who want to move to the island potentially. Can you help me build some more houses and put furniture together for the new people? And I think some of these steps or these next game elements, you won't be able to get to if you forever stay in your tent, yeah. If you never upgrade to a house yourself. So that's kind of a bit of a problem, right, with that approach. I mean, sure, you can live in your tent and you can farm the island and do whatever you want, but you will never see some of the more advanced or follow-on game elements popping up then.
Yeah. I agree, and I think that the game is really slow on the first 2 days, and after that it picks up the speed. So one of the things that I heard a lot of people that especially are sharing the Switch is that the second player doesn't have anything to do, and I think that's true for the first couple of days, but once you start to unlock all the things that you have said, once you can, for example, cross the river, that you can explore the rest of the island and all these kind of things, then the game offers you so much content that even if you are sharing your Switch, you are not going to finish everything before the other person.
Okay, so we need to explain something here.
Yeah.
Because if you share a Switch and play Animal Crossing with multiple people on the same Switch, all your characters, all your players on that Switch end up on the same island. So there is one island per Switch, not one island per player. When you have like two Switches, like in your case or in our case here as well, with multiple copies of the game, then obviously every player ends up on their own island. But particularly if, you know, the Switch is kind of a home console for you and you maybe have a family... with a kid or something like that. It is, I think, quite common that multiple people play on that Switch. And I saw a few tweets after the game was released where people were surprised about that. And where people were saying like, oh, I've got two or three kids and now they all sit on that cramped island. And it's like, yeah, that's unfortunately how the game works. I mean, there's nothing you can do.
I mean, that kind of sucks because... Once one of them does everything, like collects all the fruits and checks all the trees, let's say, then the others don't have much to do left, probably, you know?
Yeah, but the game shifts into a different gear then, I think. It becomes more a cooperation game than a I do everything on my island myself game, right? So you have to talk to the other people, like who's doing what, you know, maybe one person is taking care of the farming and the trees and stuff like that. Maybe another person is taking care of the landscaping. Maybe a third person is taking care of like collecting things. I think you can, you know, split up stuff a little bit depending on how you want to play it. And again, because the game is so open and free, it gives you these possibilities, I think.
Do you share the money as well?
I don't know that.
Yeah, I have no idea.
I would think that you have your own money, because what people were saying is also that you find your own recipes. So one person I follow on Twitter was saying like his wife found a few recipes that he doesn't have on the same island. So now if he wants, I don't know, whatever, like a barrel to be made, he always has to go to her and say, hey, can you make me a barrel? You know.
That's cool.
Yeah, I think it's a very interesting approach, and it's probably going to be fun to play the game that way, but in a different way, you know? But
yeah.
I think that the game experience will be very different. And I also think that you can play co-op at the same time. So you don't have to just watch when the other person is playing. You can actually join with your player also as well. And in that case, I think the other player is going to be... one is going to be the leader, the other one is going to be the follower, and then you can just follow around. And let's say if they are cutting trees, you can also help cutting trees, for example.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. Yeah.
Up to 8 players. So yeah, a very big family there.
One Switch. Oh.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a cute game, right? It's really interesting. But what I would find interesting is to talk a little bit about how we got there. I mean, why did the three of us and my wife and gazillion of other people we know buy this game? I mean, what is so weird about it? And like, how do people even find this game? Because you look at it in a game shop, let's say, and you see the cover and it's full of like little cartoon animals, and it almost looks like a kid's game.
It does look as a kid's game. Yeah. I played the previous one. So I played it, I loved it, and I needed to play this one as well. That's it for me.
Okay. Yeah, for me, this is my first Animal Crossing game. I never played one before. That's actually not quite true. I played Animal Crossing Pocket Camp on my phone a little bit for like a few weeks when that came out. But that wasn't the same, really.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah, not the same. I remember when the game was on GameCube, it was very big. It had a lot of fan base. It was a big fan base. And also the same thing on 3DS. And the thing that I liked the most with the 3DS one was the QR codes. So you were able to get designs of people that people made and shared with QR codes that contain the images of the designs inside. And that was super fun for me, going online and trying to find all the weirdest QR codes of to incorporate into my game. And that got me so much into the 3DS version. And then I was looking forward to this one because I had a really good experience with the previous one.
I never liked the patterns part, the QR codes thing. I'm more the collector person.
I know.
See, this is so funny, like, because Miguel is into all sorts of design things. I mean, not just in the game, but also in a lot of practical things when it comes to, hey, I'll just whip up a logo or a sticker design or something like that. So yeah. That totally suits Miguel's kind of interests.
Yeah.
And I have to admit, I have no interest in the design part. Not no interest, but there's so much other stuff to do in the game that the design bits is very low on my priority list, to be honest. I mean, if someone gives me a nice design, cool, but I'm not sure if I would spend the time to design something in Animal Crossing.
I don't have time to design. I need to collect all the shit.
Yeah, I know. I had so many fish and bugs and stuff.
I mean, that also reflects how I am, right? In real life, I'm obsessive. So I need to collect everything.
Lara the Hoarder.
Yeah.
well, you can ask for design requests and I will try to do something.
And meanwhile, I'm the one trying to get money and buy stuff.
Yes, and then we exchange
everything in my house.
Yeah, so that is maybe a business model, you know, make custom designs and sell them for lots of bells. Bells are the in-game currency for people who don't know that.
That will be great.
I think you should go back to the design bit for a moment and explain what you mean with that QR code system, because not everyone would know that.
So in the game, you have a little mobile phone. So your protagonist has a little mobile phone with an app installed, which is a designer app. And this designer app allows you to create very small kind of a bitmaps that you can paint every single pixel. And then you can do little designs that you can wear as t-shirts, as hats, or you can hang on the wall, like if it's a little painting. And the tool is very simple. You can draw lines, you can draw dots, and it's a very simple paint tool. But what makes it very interesting is that you can share your designs. And this is not something that you can do at the beginning of the game. This is something that you unlock a bit later. And you can have a design, and then you will generate a QR code that other people can scan, and then they can incorporate into the game. But the thing is that all the designs that exist for the previous version of Animal Crossing for New Leaf on the 3DS are also compatible. So you can go to, for example, acpatterns.com. There's thousands of patterns there. And then you use your phone, your physical phone, with the Nintendo Online app installed and connected to your Animal Crossing. And you can just scan QR codes and incorporate designs there.
I'm going to take a look to the website.
One of the designs that I did, because on AC Patterns, you can upload the pictures. So I upload a picture of our dog, of Lily, and then I scan it with the barcode scanner and incorporate it into the game. And now I have a flag. The flag of my island is the picture of my dog.
This is so cool. I didn't even know.
No, I need to show you. I did today.
Yeah, Diana started doing the QR code thing yesterday. The passive consumption, not creating designs. But she hooked up the whole, you know, setup with the Nintendo app and went to some of the 3DS websites and found a few nice things. So she has now a cat dress, like, you know, kind of a cat head imprint on the front of her dress that she's running around in Animal Crossing on the island with.
Nice. Nice, nice. Yeah, the hat that I'm wearing that says oof, I did that like the first day that I unlocked the app. I said, okay, let's build this, create something. And then I created that little hat that I probably will wear the whole game, the hundreds of hours that I will play.
So are the designs for like a hat or for a piece of clothing different in size and shape? Like you have, I don't know, 20 times 20 pixels versus 100 times 100 or something like that?
So you will see when you open the designer app and you select the type of clothing that you want to paint, then you will see a different shape. And then you draw all the sides. So for example, in the case of a t-shirt, you will draw the front part of the t-shirt, the back of the t-shirt, and also each one of the arms of the t-shirt.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah, that sounds like something to explore at least and have a closer look at.
Later, I have to collect things.
So that's your favorite thing of the game, Lara, right? Collecting the stuff.
Kind of. I don't know why.
It's weird, right? Like, I mean, I have a lot of fun collecting fruit that is not the main fruit on my island and selling it to the stupid raccoons for lots of money. That makes me really happy.
Because, so the thing is that your island has the a fruit. But if you have trees with fruit trees that have fruits or make fruits from other islands, like from outside, foreign fruits? How will you explain that?
Yeah, fruits from other islands or like fruits that are not the main fruit of your island. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. So those that are not from your island will be sold for 500 bells, or the currency of the game. I don't know how much it is for the one from your island, but it's way lower.
I think you get 100 for the 100. One from your island.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And okay. They are so cheeky, right? Like, if my main fruit is apple, so if I sell an apple to the Nook brothers, they pay me 100, and then they sell the same apple in their little shop for 400.
Yeah. Yes.
And I'm like, whoa, 400% margin. Wow, that's actually not bad.
Yeah.
There's where the social aspect of the game comes also into play, because you can travel with your apples to your friend's island, and if they don't have apples, then you can sell them for 500 also.
That's what Mikael and me do. I have oranges in my island. He has peaches. So I always go with my oranges and sell them in his island. And he comes to mine to sell peaches.
See, Diane and I both have apples.
Ah!
And in hindsight, potentially, Diane should have maybe reset the game after she got apples as well and restarted.
Why not you?
With like, because I set it up first.
Okay.
And I was playing for an hour already when Diana set it up or something. Okay, so maybe, you know, in hindsight, we should have done that, but yeah, it's too late now. We know enough people playing the game that it's easy enough to go to other people's islands and, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
Do stuff there.
You can always store all your fruits, and once a week or twice a week do it. But still, it would be nice if you could go to your wife's island and sell, you know.
Yeah, it would be more convenient, because the connectivity in the game works in two different ways, right? Like, typical for Nintendo, there is like an internet mode and a local mode. So if you, let's say, want to visit an island of a friend of yours that is not in your local network, you would choose internet mode, and then you would say like, okay, do I want to have a look among all my Nintendo friends if anyone has opened up their island for visits? And then the little Dodo, Wilbur, or whatever his name is, will give you a list of islands you can visit. And the other option is to do that in local mode, where it switches off the internet connection and it connects locally with, I don't know, Wi-Fi or Bluetooth connection to anything nearby, in a similar way how you can play Mario Kart local, for example, without being in the internet. And that's convenient in a way, because we are the only two consoles in our Wi-Fi, and you automatically, you know, get a working connection. Whereas the internet connectivity seems to sometimes be a bit flaky. It wasn't at the beginning, but I had it like once or twice now where I was on another person's island and all of a sudden the connection dropped and I was back on my own island. And I think Miguel experienced the same thing.
Yes, yesterday. Yesterday was impossible for me. Even with Lara, we had to switch to local, because there was no way for us to do the what we were talking about, to go to the other island. And so
I think it's a typical problem with Nintendo's infrastructure and Nintendo not really getting online. Because a lot of their first party games that have online connectivity essentially use peer-to-peer connectivity. So they don't have game servers as such, as you would expect a Minecraft server or something like that to sit somewhere. The only thing their network infrastructure does is bringing peer groups together. And then you communicate with the other players' switches via peer-to-peer directly.
Yeah.
And that obviously has a whole bunch of problems in some ways.
Can we talk maybe about things that you can do without internet, without having to connect with friends first?
You can do a lot. You can do gazillion of things without internet. Yeah.
Collecting things, for example.
Sure, Lara, you can collect things without the internet.
You can collect butterflies or insects in general, fishes.
So how do you collect these things?
So for insects, you can craft a net so you can trap them. Then you can also fish, buying a, how do you say?
A fishing rod?
Fishing rod, exactly. So you can also craft one and fish in the river or sea at the beach, basically. And also you can dig holes and find fossils and find old dinosaurs and bones. And that's very good. I love that part.
So you end up with a lot of insects and fish and fossils. And then? Do you just pile them up next to your tent or what do you do?
In the beginning, yes. But very early in the game, a guy comes and wants to build a museum. So you have to help out to build a museum. And then once you have the museum, you can start bringing everything and it will be displayed there.
And that guy's name is Blethers, and he's an owl, right?
He's an owl, yes.
Yeah.
He's lived through the day.
Very fitting for a museum director, I think.
Yeah. Yes. I really like the, like, how the character is dressed. It looks like he is wearing, like, a jumper. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's so cute.
Yeah, it is. I agree.
It is. And the museum is amazing.
Yeah.
It's huge. And
it's massive. I had the museum first, like before Diana had hers. And I obviously didn't know what to expect because I never played Animal Crossing before. So I was walking around in my museum through these different levels and different rooms and underground for the fossils and everything. And I said to Diana, oh, this is really big, you know, and I don't even know where I am. I don't know how to find my way back. And she couldn't believe it because the museum in Animal Crossing on the 3DS, which she played as well a lot, was so tiny in comparison.
Yeah. I don't remember, to be honest. I don't remember how big it was. But I know that it was also nice looking. This one is also impressive.
What I was wondering, I don't know if you know that, each of the exhibits in the museum has a little sign explaining what it is and who it was donated by.
Yeah.
Which I didn't see currently that. All say like donated by Agent K. Can I come to other people's islands like yours and donate things to your museum?
No. No. When you have people visiting, you cannot donate things to the museum. I think that works when you are playing co-op with local people.
Ah, that makes sense. Okay,
because so if you're sharing people, the museum with other players that are on the same Switch.
That makes sense.
Okay, that makes sense, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. One thing that I like a lot about the game is that all the things that you collect for the museum look super realistic, which is everything. So the characters are super cartoony, but the things that you collect for the museum are realistic, are photorealistic. It's super nice. And also as well for the furniture that you get. Like, for example, there is a little KitchenAid that Lara collected today. And it's exactly like the real one.
Mm. Yes. And you can turn it on and it spins and makes noises. And so cute. So one thing about the museum that it's also very nice, besides the actual design of the things you collect, is that the owl will give you facts about anything you collect. And those are real facts. And that's also really nice, you know.
Even though it gets a bit annoying at some point.
I mean,
I like learning things, that's fine. But if he tries to push his stuff on me every single time while I just want to drop off another fossil that I just found and need to empty my storage, I'm like, oh, go away. No, I can't.
But you can donate things in bulks.
Yeah.
So you don't have to listen to him a lot.
But that was introduced later. Initially, you couldn't do that. The first 15 items you donated, you had to do individually. And then when he opened up the proper museum, then all of a sudden bulk donation was available.
True.
Yeah. It's a little annoying at the beginning, but then it goes away.
Yeah.
So I would like to ask you, what's your morning routine, or let's say, or afternoon routine when you are playing? The first thing that you do when you start a game, maybe, for example, you go to collect fruit. What's the thing that you do?
That's what I do. I collect all the fruits just in case you, Mikael, want to come to my island and sell things. So I don't want any fruits to be still there so you don't steal mine.
I will never do that. I will never do that.
That's what I
do. I was going to say, that's your main worry? Wow.
Come on. If he steals oranges, he will get 500 per orange.
No, I will never do that.
I think we need to talk about another friend of us who has developed a bit of a reputation for playing a very weird Animal Crossing game.
I will not say friend anymore.
A thief. Person that we know.
Thief.
So here's the lesson. If you're playing with friends and you steal flowers or you steal fruit without asking, they are going to remember forever. Forever.
Absolutely. There's a whole etiquette around how to behave on other people's islands.
And we are going to take pictures and we are going to upload them into Twitter and we are going to shame you.
Exactly.
So one of the things that I like to do when I start a game is shaking all the trees, because there's every day there is one tree that contains a present, like a furniture piece. And then the first thing is I get the net because I want to deal with the wasp also. And then I go through my island, shaking all the trees, waiting until the little icon of the leaf icon falls down. And then, okay, I found the thing.
Did you know that, Kai?
I have heard of that, but I haven't tried that yet to find anything that way.
Come on.
What I usually do when I play for the first time on a day, which is usually in the afternoon for me, I don't play in the mornings normally, unless it's a weekend, I would probably usually do collecting fruit and collecting wood from the trees. So I just like use an axe and I hit the tree 3 times to collect like 3 pieces of wood and the 3 fruit. And I'm doing it in a staggered way. So I don't clear out all the trees as soon as they have apples, because they take, or like fruit, because they take a few days to regrow, right? It's not that next day you have your apples back. They take more than a day to grow. So I try to stagger it in a way that I have some apples every day. So maybe I clear half of my island and then the other half stays for the next day while the others grow back.
But if you plant other trees or fruit trees the next day or the day you get the apples, I don't know how long it takes to grow, you might have still fruits in different waves, you know?
Yeah. However it pans out, I try to have fruits in different waves.
That's nice.
So I don't have an empty island for like 2 days, basically.
That's nice. I kind of stopped collecting wood in the morning because at some point, like after 1 week playing, you have too much wood. So there's no need to do that.
Yeah, I'm doing the same. I'm only checking my fruits first and then I might just get up and stuff. And then by the moment I have some time and it's 8 a.m. and the store is open, I go and check out what they have to sell. Because collecting.
So is that when you're simulating your work commute that you don't have to do?
Yes. So the thing is, we are now in lockdown, right?
And I think everyone is pretty much.
Yes. Yeah. an expert recommend to continue with your morning routines, like your routines. And my routine was going to the office and commuting. And during commute, you do different things. And one thing I could do is to play Animal Crossing. So now I'm simulating that I'm commuting in the morning, like half an hour. So that's more or less what I play in the morning. And then I can start working.
It's a little bit like Lara making shit up as she goes to justify playing Animal Crossing.
Yes. Come on. I don't play during the day. I behave. I work, and then after work, I play again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I see Mikkel playing sometimes. I'm like, come on.
I'm taking breaks.
I cannot.
Yeah. No, especially on Friday, that I don't work on Fridays usually. Yeah. And then on Fridays is when I play the most.
So he was here next to me today, scrolling, looking at designs for Animal Crossing, and I was dealing with dependency injection and wanted to cry, and he was so happy.
Oh, that's so unfair.
Yeah, I know.
I usually don't play during the day. Yesterday was an exception because one of our friends here in New Zealand, whose whole family has Switches, like they are like four people, him, his wife, and two kids. And his daughter is a YouTube streamer as well.
Oh, wow.
So they did a YouTube stream recording for Animal Crossing yesterday. And he posted it on Twitter and opened up his village at like 2 p.m. local time. Mm-hmm. So then I took a break and played for half an hour to just run over to his village and hang out with a few people there and take photos and stuff and show up in their YouTube video.
Oh, I want to see that. Send me the link later.
Yeah, I'll send you the link. I don't think it's up yet, but...
Okay.
I need to have a look, yeah.
Yeah, once it is, share it. That's cool. I was talking about being ready for the wasps when you shake the tree. And this is something that we have... I read some people explaining, and then it was mind-blowing for everyone when I was explaining it, which is when you go to shake trees, sometimes a wasp net and a wasp nest will fall, and the wasp will go after you, and they will sting you. Mm-hmm. And the second time that they sting you, then you go back to your house. No, so you lose a little bit of progress, or you lose where you were. So it's really annoying. It's really annoying. And the thing that you can do is, if you have the net in your hand, is you can catch the wasps before they sting you. So to do that, you need to be ready. You need to be shaking the trees while you are holding the net. And as soon as you see that the nest falls, then turn around a little bit to the nest and then press A, like if there's no tomorrow, and try to catch the wasps. And 80% of the time, you will do it. And they sell for a lot of money, so it's really worth it.
They sell for $2,500.
Wasp?
Yes.
Wow. Okay, yeah. I didn't know that.
Yes. What I do is always, I never have the net at hand. So whenever I see the nest dropping, what I do is run a little bit, and then take out the net and try to catch them. But yeah, they sell for $2,500 bells.
I tried it a few times after Miguel told me, and I haven't managed to catch them. Diana has a few times now, I think.
Okay.
Get good.
Yeah. And another insect that is really annoying in the game is tarantulas. And I think in the southern hemisphere, you have a different thing. You have, I think, scorpions.
Scorpions, I think you said.
What is a tarantula? A spider, right?
Yes. Yes. What is called tarantula?
You have a spider? Really? I didn't know that. Yeah, we have a scorpion that basically has like a tail and like a sting on its tail. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
It's another interesting thing to mention to people who either haven't played yet or just got into it. So when you set up your island, you choose the hemisphere you want to be in.
Yeah.
Because the hemisphere or the game is season dependent. That's another interesting thing to be aware of, right? Like if you play in let's say December or January, your island is in winter in the northern hemisphere, while in the southern hemisphere it will be in summer. Mm-hmm. And the previous Animal Crossing games didn't have that mechanism, so that's something that Diana always found really annoying, that when it was summer here and it was December, that everything was in Christmas mode. And it's like, yeah, that's a bit weird, really. It doesn't make sense for us. So now you can choose the hemisphere you want your island to be in, and then it adapts to the seasons of your respective hemisphere. But I didn't know that there is a different, you know, animal that might sting me and attack me. Interesting.
Yeah, that's interesting. The thing is that tarantulas sell for 8,000. So catching a tarantula is very lucrative. Mm-hmm. And now there are a lot of techniques around how to spawn them. So how to make your terrain in a way that you will spawn more tarantulas. Mm-hmm. And then how to be effective catching them.
Is it... I mean, it's a fair objective. You know, it's a fair thing to do if people want to clear out all their trees or whatever to just catch more tarantulas, to make more money and get certain progress in the game. I probably wouldn't go through that effort, to be honest. But, you know, if people want to do that, that's fine. I'm just happy running around collecting my stuff and, like, you know, building a house and a little fence and, like, putting a flamingo in my garden and stuff like that.
I have a flamingo, too.
Flamingos are lovely.
Yes, I want more. But I'm trying the tarantula tip or hack. I don't know how to call it. Just because I want to catch one. Because I think I'm going to earn something. At least unlock it from the my book.
The museum.
In the museum.
You need it for the museum, yeah.
So I'm just trying that out. And because I don't like them when they are running, so I want to be like in some distance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's another thing we need to explain, I think. The whole reward system. Because sure, you can catch stuff and sell it or donate it to the museum, but there is that whole system of what they call Nuke Miles.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of a frequent flyer program for achievements on the island, more or less. And that is new in this version of the instance of the game as well, from what I've been told. And I think they put it in there to make it more sticky, obviously, because like a game these days needs an achievement system, you know, where you can get your little badges or stickers for stuff you've done. So you on your phone, on your virtual phone, you have an app for Nuke Miles, and it gives you little stamps. And then depending on how good or how often you've done something, you get more Nuke Miles for reaching the next level of the stamps. Let's say, you know, I planted foreign fruits, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or all of them or something like that. And then I get like the whole stamp book free and I get like Nuke Miles for that. And the Nuke Miles can then be redeemed for other stuff. So you can redeem it against hairstyles or like recipes or certain clothing or airplane tickets to other islands that are not your friend's islands that are called mystery islands. So there is a whole, you know, level of rewards in the game that are independent from finding and selling and donating things only.
Yeah.
But that's also cool. I love that you can also collect, get miles by flying to your friend's islands, like in real life. Also, the airports are super cute.
Yeah.
They're so cute. There you can also buy postcards. You can send postcards to your friends, your neighbors, or even yourself in the future.
Yes.
Yeah, why would you do that?
I don't know. Yourself, I don't know. I send sometimes letters to Miguel to send gifts, some things I bought. Or I attach a present or something, and then I say coffee. So
that's fine if you send it to someone else. But why would you send yourself a letter into the future?
One thing that I saw is someone that sends a letter for themselves for their birthday.
Yeah.
Something like, imagine that you sent a letter to yourself in 3 months and say, wow, these times where we are all at home and this is super sad. And maybe you read that in 3 months and say like, wow, yeah, that was incredible. How is that possible?
That's a bad example because we all know that in 3 months it's going to be the same.
But well, yeah, I would have said 6 or maybe 1 year. I don't know. Yeah. Well, my birthday is in November, so I have a lot of time. Okay. Hopefully things will get better for so.
Oh, yeah. So what else can you buy and sell in
turnips.
Animal Crossing?
Turnips.
Yeah, I have lots of questions around that. Because I haven't really experienced that at all and have never played a previous game. I have no idea what's going on with those turnips.
I honestly don't know if I like them.
On Sundays, there is a lady that comes to the island that sells turnips. And she sells the turnips at one price, which is not always the same. And it's not the same on all islands. So in my island was 98 bells. And I think on Lara's island was 104, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 104. Yeah. So it were a bit cheaper on my island. And you buy them. And you cannot store them. You need to leave them in your house. And the thing is that these turnips will expire in 1 week. So you need to sell them at some point. But the thing is that on Monday morning, when you go to sell them, yeah, you ask for the price to the Nook friends.
To your
no?
friends, Timmy and Tommy.
Yeah. Timmy and Tommy, yes. And they will tell you, yeah, I can buy them for 74. I say like, come on, I bought it for 98 yesterday. So you need to wait until the day that it makes sense to you to sell them.
Yeah, so you will have different prices in the morning and in the afternoon. So you can go twice per day. Yeah, true.
Yes. And the thing is that your friends are going to have different prices too. So then what you have to do every day is to say, hey, on my island, the turnips are at 150, 140. One strategy that I read is that if you can have a 50% increase in price, it's already worth selling. So don't hold it until the weekend. But also on the other hand, the prices can go up to 800, for example. So you buy 400 and they go up to 800. You can make a lot of money.
Okay.
But it's a risk reward thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you hold it and that never happens, then they rot and they go away and then you lose all the money on the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So on Saturday is the last time that you can sell. So Saturday at 10 is the last time that you can sell. And maybe they pay 30 on Saturday night. So it's like a stock game, you know? But the more friends you have and the more people you are collaborating with on finding the island that is paying the most for the turnips, I think the better you can do it.
Okay, interesting.
I don't know.
We need to save a lot of money for Sunday.
I don't know if I want to play that game.
Why not?
I don't know. I had bad experiences in the previous game where my fruits will rot or I will lose a lot of money. So I'm like, I don't know.
But see, that's the thing. You don't have to play that game if you don't like it. The whole stock market thing. And I think there's enough different opportunities to have fun in Animal Crossing that not everyone has to play every little element of it. Our friend Jennifer, for example, said the other day, or yesterday actually, that she really hates in-game fishing games. And my only comment was like, well, then you've chosen exactly the right game with Animal Crossing.
But you know how to play that part. Right.
Exactly. I mean, you don't fish, you know, just do other stuff. That's fine.
Mm. I mean, in general, fishing can be quite boring in games, but in this one, it's quite easy to catch fish. So, yeah, the only thing, difficult thing is just to collect them.
Yeah.
And find unique ones. So.
Yeah. What makes a fishing game not boring is that it's a very quick turnaround. Yeah. You know, it's not that you spend 5 minutes on one fish. You just throw your fishing rod into the water and like within 10 seconds, you pretty much know if you caught it or not.
Yeah. And you don't need also to find bait or to create bait or something like this. So you can just keep throwing and see what it comes.
Do you know if like having bait will give you more chance to catch a unique one? Or is just it just attracts a random fish and good luck?
Yeah. I think that is when you don't see fish and you throw the bait and then some fish will come, but it doesn't have to be a special one. What we saw, and we were discussing this yesterday, is that seems that at night there's more possibilities to get a bigger catch. And that was my experience also. When I was fishing at night, I was getting really nice big fish. When I was fishing during the day, I was just getting sea bass all the time. Sea bass, sea bass, sea bass.
Yeah, I think there's some truth to that. Another interesting thing I found yesterday is I went to a mystery island, like one of those islands you can get to if you buy like a special ticket via Nuke Miles. And every single thing I tried to fish on that island was either a can or like an old tire or a boot.
Yes.
Every single thing.
Yes.
Is that kind of common? Is that like island dependent?
Yeah. There is some sort of patterns. I remember in one island, I was able to catch koi fish and other types of like these really nice, colorful fish.
Mm-hmm.
And then I haven't seen them again. So I was very lucky to catch them on that mystery island because I haven't seen them around.
I've heard also as well that there are islands only with tarantulas. So I guess there are islands only with scorpions?
Maybe.
I don't know.
Do scorpions come at night or during the day?
I think I've never seen one during the day.
Okay.
But, I mean, that might be my own experience. I don't know.
Do you have scorpions there?
What do you mean?
Do you have scorpions in New Zealand?
Oh, actually, in New Zealand?
I don't know.
Not scorpions that sting, no.
Mm.
Well, we don't have tarantulas in Germany either, Lara.
Yeah, I've... Who knows?
That's a very good point, yeah.
But what I mean is that the animal behaves in the same way, but it's just a different asset. No, it's a different animal in the game, but the goal or the thing of this animal, which is bite you and annoy you, is probably exactly the same. It's just a seasonal different thing.
Mm.
Oh, that would be interesting as well to see if that stays the same when we go through the seasons, or if maybe in our winter, which will be your summer, if we have maybe a different animal that becomes annoying.
Yeah, will be very interesting to see. I also want to see on winter what's going on, because I was checking the list of insects, for example, and most of them are gone during the winter.
Ah, true.
And we are going into the summer, but you are going into the winter. And I'm curious to see how the game changes during winter, especially. I remember in Stardew Valley, winter is really tough because you cannot grow anything in Stardew Valley in winter.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it's going to be tough also in Animal Crossing in a way that, I don't know, maybe you don't get fruit or maybe you don't get insects or you have less insects. So
yeah,
I'm curious to see.
I'm
so do you think I need
to
do some hamster buying?
So I'm curious about that as well, because there's a difference with Stardew Valley. Stardew Valley, you don't follow real-time days. And you can end days whenever you want. You basically go to bed and the day finishes and you go next day. So you can have the cycles really fast. In Animal Crossing, today in Animal Crossing is the same day as for us in real life, you know. Correct. So you go to bed at some point at night, I guess, and the same in Animal Crossing. So, I mean, if we have a real winter and that's 3 months, I'm going to get bored 3 months.
Let's no see. Yeah, I have no idea.
They wouldn't do that, I think, because they want you to keep playing every day. So if there is less fruit and less insects, there will be something else then by then that makes it interesting and keeps you kind of hooked into the game.
I mean, it's a cute game, so I'm looking forward to Christmas time and have cute Christmassy things. But also it means that I need money and I need to have something to get money, to earn money. I have to do something. I don't know. Maybe we will be baking cookies and selling them in a market. I don't know.
Start saving. Yes. This is one thing of the game, that there are seasonal events. Like, for example, now in April, there is the Bunnymen, I think, which is like an Ostern, or it's called Ostern in Germany.
Eastern, yeah.
Eastern, yes, mm-hmm. yes. Yeah. And then there is like the World Earth Day also happening at the end of April. So there are all these little events happening. This is something great also about the game. Because maybe you will stop playing for a month, but then you will remember that, oh, this is Halloween now. There will be something special in Animal Crossing. And then you start Animal Crossing again and you play through the Halloween special things. And then you forget about the game again, and then you pick it up again in Christmas. So it's a life game in this sense.
There also used to be regular fireworks in Animal Crossing on the 3DS, weren't they?
I think so. That you can fire, or that you can craft and fire?
No, like fireworks events where the whole town would get together to a celebration, and then there is like a town fireworks or something.
Yeah, I think it was the celebrations. But we still have celebrations in this game, but you only have like party poppers, those things that pop and have confetti.
Yeah, maybe for now.
Maybe, I don't know. Who knows?
Okay, so we're getting to the end of our episode, and I would like to ask you, because you probably are going to be playing Animal Crossing when we finish recording, is what are you doing in Animal Crossing now? What is your current goal?
So for me, I just finished the plots for 3 new houses where new people can move to the island, and I built all the furniture they required and everything. So I would expect today, hopefully, that I get a new, person, animal moving to the island.
Nice.
And the way how that works is, I think at least, when you go to those mystery islands that you have to buy a ticket for, you sometimes meet other animals, other characters in the game, and then you can talk to them and you can invite them to move to your island, or at least mention it. And I think, or I would hope, that some of these animals I've met will end up the new citizens of my island, or some of them. But I have no idea. But I expect someone new to pop up today, at least.
So my plan is to, once we finish recording, I'm going to go and play until I'm very sleepy and fall asleep. And my plan is, since I already took all the fruits, I'm only planning on flying to a mysterious island, gather some things. Hopefully I will end up in an island with a foreign fruit, and then I make money. Otherwise, boring. But yeah, probably it's going to be one island and then sleeping. And then tomorrow I'm gonna start planning my neighborhood a little bit better.
Mm-hmm. Nice. So in my case, I'm already in a mystery island. I had to stop playing for the podcast. And it's one of those that has bamboo in it. But I'm trying to do the tarantula thing. So what I did is to clean up the whole island. So in theory, tarantulas will start spawning in the island, but I haven't managed yet. So I see. Let's see how that works.
I haven't seen bamboo in a mysterious island. I only saw it because you got some bamboo some other day.
Yes,
I'm jealous.
Yes, yes. Yeah, I got my. Did I get my bamboo from you? No, from Helen actually. Helen gave me some of her bamboo, and she got it from somewhere.
So I will have now more bamboo shots, and probably I can send you some, and you can plant them.
Whom? Kai or me?
Maybe. Well, you already have, so I can send some
already,
to Kai.
Yeah.
Ah, you have already also? Okay.
Yeah, I got some from Helen, yeah.
Okay.
So before we came to start recording, I got a DJ set table, and Nike was like, oh, I love it. I need it. And
no,
and
I didn't say that.
Well, yeah, kind of. That would be awesome for you that you didn't want it, but you were like, but. And then I remind you that yesterday I asked you to buy me a cup of tea you had in your shop that cost 270 bells. And you
was
didn't
a cup
buy
of
it.
Coffee.
Or
it was
a cup
of coffee. Yeah.
And you didn't buy it for me. And I had to go to your island and buy it by myself. And now you're like, oh, I love it. It's mine.
No, I didn't tell you that. I told you, this is a very special thing. So that's the only thing that I told you.
Mm-hmm. You know what I find really nice? Like now that we're talking about these little things, like, hey, I saw a cup of coffee in your shop, or like a DJ set and stuff like that. We have that Telegram group that I started, I don't know, a year ago or 1.5 years ago, which are kind of all my closest friends are in there. And because we are all splattered across the world in different countries and places, it's a really nice way to talk regularly during the day. And of these 9 people in their Telegram group, I think 7 or 8 play Animal Crossing now. Mm-hmm. To the point where I have really some sympathy for the poor 1 or 2 people who don't play, because they get swamped with all these Animal Crossing chit-chat over the last week or so.
Yeah.
But then they get convinced and they buy the game.
That worked for some of them already, as we know, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is the first time since we have the Switch that I see all the people playing the same game.
It's incredible, eh?
Yeah. I did not expect that. Even, for example, my sister got a Switch and a game, just for the game. And also our friend Maria Jose also did the same, got a Switch with the game.
Yes.
I saw a few people in Wellington that tried to get the game and a Switch before the lockdown started. So the lockdown started like Wednesday night here. Today is Saturday morning. And I saw people pretty much panic buying or trying to panic buy a Switch with Animal Crossing on Wednesday.
Wow.
And they just couldn't because there was nothing in the shops anymore.
Wow. Yeah, toilet paper and Animal Crossing.
Yeah.
That's all you need. And some chips, of course.
It's amazing. Like, I mean, I think the game would have been very successful anyway.
Yes.
But with the whole pandemic situation, that has just put another layer on top of that, I feel.
Yes. Yeah. It's
but
incredible.
The good thing is that you get absorbed by the game, which sometimes it's not good because you lose track of time and duties and responsibilities, but it's really, really good right now in this situation. Your mind just relaxes, and that's the best, I think, right now.
It's classic escapism. And that's what we need to some extent right now, I think.
this was a nice way to finish this episode. I think that if you don't have Animal Crossing, you will seriously consider to buying now after hearing us and everything that we have shared today. Thanks a lot for staying with us, Guy, this morning for you. Thanks a lot, Lara, also as well.
You're welcome. It was lots of fun, like always.
Yes, I can't wait to play Animal Crossing now.
Yes.
I thought you would say, I can't wait to do another podcast to see you and hang out with you again. Oh, priorities, Lara.
You know what? I have an idea. We should hang out, the three of us, in Animal Crossing in an island and take a picture and upload it.
Okay.
Yes, we should
with
do that.
This episode. Yep.
Yeah. I was thinking you wanted to stream the whole gameplay on YouTube or something like this.
That would be boring for people. Me shaking trees.
Sure. I'm not sure if that would be really boring. People would still watch that, I think.
Thanks everyone for listening, and make sure you follow us on Twitter at Code Cafeteria, and don't forget also to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite podcast app. Thanks a lot.
See ya.
Thank you. See you. Bye bye.